Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the church sign on the lawn said, as the sermon slide on the PowerPoint screen says, the title of our message this morning is this: Are You Under Arrest? Based on Hebrews chapter 5, these verses. We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear. You have need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God, but you are like babes who need milk and not ready for strong meat. Again, our theme is, Are You Under Arrest? And you'll find the sermon outline printed for you on the back of the handout that was given to you this morning. I encourage you to follow along. Well, have you ever been under arrest? Or have you become close to being put under arrest? It was a hot summer day quite a few years ago. My buddy and I had just finished playing a summer league ball game. We hopped on our bikes and rode to the nearest grocery store because we had in mind some cold popsicles to help quench our thirst. Between the two of us, we had enough money for one for each of us, and we could split the third one. But when we got up to the cash register to pay, that's when it happened. The store manager took us both by the ruff of our collar, lifted us off the ground and said, Young men, I'm taking you to my office. You're in trouble for stealing. I had no idea what he was talking about. But as he rudely shoved us into his office, he said, Okay, show me what you've stolen. I didn't know what he was talking about till I found out. My buddy had shoved some extra popsicles down the front of his uniform pants, trying to get out of the store with them. And the manager put the fear of God on us and told us he was going to call the police and have us arrested. And then as he dialed our parents and called and told them what was going to happen, he demanded and he got a tearful apology. And we quickly got on our bicycles and took a long ride home. And after we got home, we both discovered it might have been better to be arrested by the police than to face what we were going to face from our mother and our father when we got home. That was the closest I've ever come to being put under arrest. Now, I imagine that most everybody here has never even come close to being put under arrest in a criminal sense. Yet arrest in Webster's dictionary has additional meaning. And many people here most likely are under arrest in this other sense. The second different dictionary definition of arrest includes this: arrest, ceasing to grow. Ceasing to grow, or the act of stopping or slowing down. For example, we might say, the growth of our economy has been arrested. That is, our economy has slowed down, or it's stopping, or it's slowing. Now, many people may not be in jail because they've been criminally arrested. And yet they are arrested in a very profound way. Some adults are emotionally arrested, so that their method of problem solving is to throw a chair, or to hit a spouse, or to threaten to rearrange the neighbor's face with a fist. Now, we might say that children go through a stage of such emotional outbursts and eventually grow out of it. But some adults, men and women, are emotionally arrested and still use this 5-year-old's method of problem solving. Some people today may be socially arrested in the way they deal with other people. A child may declare this: if we can't play it my way, then I'm going to go home and take all my toys home with me. Now, arrested adults may act with a little more sophistication, but pretty much practice the same routine at home, at work, or even at the church. If I can't have it my way, and I'm going to take my toys and go home. But being spiritually arrested is what we've come to talk about today. And being spiritually arrested may be the most common form of arrest for church people today. Remember, arrested can mean ceasing to grow. It's certainly one of my biggest frustrations and challenges as a pastor today. Far too many Christians, far too many church members reach a certain level, a certain plateau in their spiritual understanding or growth, and then they decide, that's enough. No need for personal Bible study or reading. No need for family prayer times or devotions. No need for one of the many Bible classes offered here at the church. No need to seek God's direction by joining with others who look into God's holy word. In the Lutheran Church in North America, studies show that far too many adults age 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and beyond have the spiritual understanding of a 13-year-old. Why? Any guesses? Because after they finished confirmation instruction and were confirmed at the age of 13, so many folks have quit studying or digging into God's Word ever again. Now's where we start getting a little personal with this sermon. Could you be one of those persons who is spiritually arrested and doesn't want a pastor to bother you or even to talk to you about it? In our sermon text from Hebrews chapter 5, we meet an entire congregation that is spiritually arrested. The writer to the book of Hebrews, perhaps St. Paul, loves these people too much not to address the issue, because he knows that spiritual arrest can lead to spiritual apathy, can lead to spiritual weakness, can lead to loss of faith, can lead to spiritual death, can lead to eternal death. And the same can be true today. Listen again to the text from Hebrews 5. We have many things to say, but you are slow to hear and you have need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God. But you are like babes who need milk and not strong meat. These people were spiritually arrested. The text describes them as slow to hear. Slow to hear not because they didn't have a teacher, not because they didn't have opportunities to grow, but because they seemed just not to care, or that they had other priorities in their lives more important. As a pastor, I have dealt with people who tell me, yes, they tell me, Pastor, we want to grow in faith. We want our children to grow in faith. But when a special class or instruction is offered, they quickly say, oh, but it just doesn't fit into our busy, busy schedule. The people addressed by this passage are described as babes needing milk and not solid food. Their pastor wanted to take them deeper into the meat of God's Word, but they were satisfied with pablum, with milk. Just give me John 3:16, a few nice Sunday school stories, and a 20-minute sermon that's funny and entertaining. But don't call me to get serious about my faith, or don't call me to make a deeper commitment to my Lord or His church. Such spiritual arrest does lead to spiritual apathy and death. This is one of the many reasons why so many North American churches are not growing but shrinking. This is one of the many reasons in some families the Christian faith is not being passed down to the next generation. Now this morning, let's talk about two specific cases of being under spiritual arrest. The first is from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Listen to the text. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "No, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus was a ruling member of the Jewish religious establishment. He was a recognized religious authority. But Nicodemus was spiritually arrested. He was suffocating in the spiritual stranglehold of Pharisaic legalism. The have-tos, the got-tos of Pharisaical works righteousness and self-righteousness. He was not finding answers. He was not growing closer to God. He sought out Jesus at night so Jesus could set him free from him being under spiritual arrest. Now, please note that he met with Jesus at night under the cover of darkness so that others wouldn't publicly know that he, a recognized religious man, was spiritually bankrupt. And Jesus tells him in a loving way, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And once Nicodemus got past the idea of physical rebirth, he learns that he needed a brand new start with God based on the grace of God, the love of God and his faith in God, and not on a list of good works to do to earn God's favor. Jesus goes on in this account to set Nicodemus free from his prison of spiritual arrest. And we do know by the end of the gospel readings that Nicodemus came out from the cover of darkness because he publicly took a stand for Jesus as his disciple, as he was one of the men who took Jesus' lifeless body off the cross to place him in that tomb that would become the glorious pulpit that declared Christ our Lord's victory over sin and death and devil on that first Easter Sunday. I said earlier, we talk about two cases of spiritual arrest. The second is us today. Far too often, we are like that congregation described in Hebrews chapter 5. We're like babes needing milk and not ready or wanting solid food. Too much of the Christian church today, the entire Christian church, unless we point fingers like that, one at others. Remember, when you point one, you have three coming back here. Not just too many churches, but our congregation is too satisfied with spiritual milk. "Oh, pastor, just give me John 3:16, a few interesting Sunday school stories and a 20-minute sermon that entertains but never steps on my toes. Don't call me to a deeper faith or commitment to my God and His church. I'm comfortable, don't you see, being under spiritual arrest." Or perhaps we more resemble Nicodemus. My dearly beloved in Christ, are you this morning suffocating? Suffocating by the stranglehold of religious legalism? Are you trying to earn God's favor and His love by doing good deeds, by striving to keep commandments of God, but you fail only to try and you fail again and you go around and around in a circle of failure or guilt that leads you only to two places, either to pride, at least I'm better than him, or to despair? How can I ever know I've ever done enough? For today, are you ready for this? I've got some good news for you. So now take a deep breath. After the law of God has done its work, and hear now the sweet good news of the precious gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ has set us free. Will set us free. Wants to set us free from our spiritual arrest. Freedom is what He has come to bring. Listen to just three or four of these glorious freedom passages from God's holy word. Romans 6:18. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin, you become slaves to God, and the result is eternal life. Romans 8:2. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And Galatians 5:5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Today, the way that God delivers His gift of spiritual freedom is through the preaching and the teaching and the reading and studying of His holy word, the Bible. Martin Luther said the Bible, look, Luther said the Bible is the cradle for Christ. The Bible, Luther says, is the cradle for Christ. It is that which holds our dear Lord Christ up to us and delivers Him to us today. In every page of Holy Scripture, Christ, our dear Lord, speaks to your heart, draws you close to Him, and gives you the gift of faith and freedom. Today, I've asked the ushers at the end. I am asking the ushers right now. At the end of the service, to give each of you in attendance, or at least one per family, two special gifts to help you once again get into God's Word. One is a copy of that little devotional called Portals of Prayer. It's a handy little booklet that you can use every day, because every day it gives you a succinct Bible passage and makes a direct application to your personal lives. Now, members get a copy of this about every 4 months in their church mailbox. But today, I'm asking that each family here take one home as a reminder to use it personally, or as a couple, or as a family. The second gift is a daily Bible reading guide. Using this reading guide that I prepared for you, in about 15 minutes of Bible reading each day, you can read through the entire Bible in 1 year. I ask you to use these somewhat slower summer months to get into the habit, or perhaps the habit again, of daily Bible reading. Once you get started, you won't want to stop, because our Lord will use it as the cradle of Christ to deliver to you the very riches of your precious Lord Jesus. And when summer is over, we start our fall Bible study classes again. Sunday school, Sunday adult Bible class, Tuesday men's group, Wednesday women's group, Friday youth group, and more. I ask you already to look toward September and to plan to make a new start as a family in gathering here with God's people to study God's Word. Through the proclamation of His Word, God promises us that He will set us free from spiritual arrest. Because in that holy Word, we hear the precious gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death on a cross and rising from the tomb gives us victory over sin and death and the devil. In that Word, we read that we have been set free, free from the wrath of a holy God due to our sin, free from the accusations of the devil, free from the power of the grave, free to live in the assurance of the love of God, the love of God for you that will never end, but will one day bring you to live with Him forever in heaven. Jesus said of himself in John 8:36, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Cast off your chains. Burst through your dark prison doors. March today into God's sunshine and freedom. I ask you, are you under arrest? In Jesus' name I say to you, no, you are free. Go therefore and live in that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.